Welcome to Band of Gamers podcast episode number 13, our post E3 episode. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by two of my good friends, DBQ Hams.
Hello, everybody.
And Osiris Prime.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
It's great having the band back together again. We are minus one. Zeus is not here, but great having both of you guys back on the show. And before we get into more of our E3 discussions, I mean, last week really only covered, you know, the major press conferences. So, but before we jump into that, let's talk about what we've played this week or in the last couple of weeks. And since Prime, you weren't here last time, we're going to start with you. So what have you been playing?
So I was actually on vacation last week, so I didn't get to play too much, obviously, then. Mostly a lot of mobile games. But then this week, I did a little bit of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare and Minecraft. Not too much, just kind of past couple nights I've been able to get on, like for an hour or so. And then I did actually one of the 360 backwards compatibility games that you can play through the Xbox One now, which was Zuma, which is kind of a, you know, a puzzle. I don't know if no one's ever played it before. It's, you kind of, this little kind of frog statue or idol in the middle of the board, and you kind of shoot out these ball, the colored balls, and just kind of match up, you know, three or four or more to, you know, clear the board as it kind of moves, kind of snakes around you to like an endpoint. So if it reaches that endpoint, then, you know, you lost the game. But it's pretty fun. And then I downloaded a bunch of other, probably like three or four more other games that I had, but I haven't had a chance to play any of those. And then kind of on the whole E3 theme here that we're doing, I did a couple of the game previews, which is like the early access for the Xbox One. So the two that are available right now are the Elite Dangerous and The Long Dark. And I'm not sure if there's a trial or demo on the Steam early access, but on the game, on the Xbox, they actually give you a trial or demo, which gives you 60 minutes to play the game. So I played both of those, and pretty much kind of far side of the spectrum for each game. Elite Dangerous is you're piloting this spaceship, you know, out in space, out in the galaxy somewhere, and it's pretty involved, actually. I don't know if either of you have ever tried it on, I don't know if it's out totally on PC now, or if it's kind of in the same early stages, but it's pretty involved. There's a lot to kind of take in, so I was kind of just fooling around with it. I think you can only do like the trials, the tutorials, and so I did a couple, like the first two of those, which is just kind of how you remove the ship, and then how I think the second one was like a battle that you just gotta defeat this one spaceship that's flying around. So I don't know, did either of you get to check any of those, either that game or Long Dark, out yet?
I ended up downloading both of them. I haven't had a chance to play them yet, but I had read about the Elite Dangerous having one of the most complicated controller control schemes, so I'd be interested to hear kind of your thoughts on that, Prime. It is out for PC, or it's in some stage of beta, but it's been out for a while because it has Oculus support, and I've listened to other podcasts where people have talked about it. I downloaded it right away, and I'm really kind of interested to putz around on it. I'm kind of disappointed that maybe it's only an hour, but maybe that's enough to tempt you to go on and pay for the early access. So how did you find the controls?
Pretty confusing at first, actually. But before you do each tutorial section, kind of off to the side, they give you a link to like a YouTube video where you can kind of it's just a video that shows you how to, you know, do the controls and everything. I don't know if there's like under the options or whatever, if it maps out the controls for you. Probably does, I'm sure. I didn't really go through the options too well, but they do give you a link to go to a YouTube video for controlling your ship. And I didn't do on the first tutorial, or the first trial, I didn't hit that YouTube link, so I was just kind of flying blind. About 15 minutes in, I finally kind of figured out just the basic controls, how to move forward and backwards, and how to fly your ship, because it's definitely, when you're flying, it's not just easy, you know, push up and down, left and right, and, you know, you're moving everywhere. It's pretty involved. You got to use both sticks, and it's I don't want to say complicated. It's just, there is a steep learning curve, so you just kind of have to, you know, buckle down and, you know, learn everything. But so it wasn't too bad then, but then when I was fighting that spaceship, the enemy ship, that's where it was kind of really started to get hard, because you kind of have to follow the ship, and it's, moving, whizzing past you pretty fast, and you can accelerate and decelerate in like kind of like stages. Like it kind of bumps up the acceleration in like three or four like sections, like at a time. So you have to so when you accelerate or decelerate, it kind of does it gradually. So it's not like just you boom, you're off right away. So I guess kind of how a regular spaceship wouldn't work, I assume, since I've never been in one. But yeah, it's definitely involved. So if you have some time, I definitely I'd recommend going ahead and trying that one out. And then real quick, The Long Dark is a kind of I don't want to say post-apocalyptic, because I'm not sure if there was like a war or anything, but something happens in the world where kind of everything goes out. I think there's some kind of like natural disaster that happens that kind of shuts down everything. So you're kind of just going through these wooded areas and just trying to figure out what's going on, just basically just trying to survive. So I don't know if you or Gray have ever seen that game. I don't know if that one's on the PC at all. I don't know if either one of you know about The Long Dark.
I've seen it listed on, I'm pretty sure on PC on Steam, but I haven't, I've heard even less about that one. Elite Dangerous I've heard people talk about quite a bit, but Long Dark, what were some of the other ones that were coming? There was the space game by the DayZ creator, and there was one other one that was going to be coming early access. Do you guys remember what those other games were?
I think Ion was the one from the DayZ guy, I believe, which was really, well, the only thing I saw was that original kind of trailer thing that they showed during the conference, and that was pretty vague, so I'm not even sure what that is really about. So, no, and I don't remember what some of the other ones were. I think there might have been like one or two other ones, which I can't remember right now. How about you, Gray? Have you had any experience with either of these two, either on the Xbox or on PC?
I've been eyeing Elite Dangerous. I want to actually download it and try it. You get Elite Dangerous, you got Eve, you got Star Citizen. There's just a resurgence of space combat, space exploration, even throwing No Man's Sky in there. And nobody has time to play them all, so I've kind of been eyeing them, looking at them, and trying to determine which one I want to actually pick up. And I think VR for those games is going to be really, really cool. But haven't got a chance to download and try Elite Dangerous, but I am excited to be able to try that on my Xbox One, because I mean it's just I can sit on the couch and play. I don't have to do it on the PC, which just seems to be just more relaxing to sit on the couch and play. So and that's maybe that's one of the reasons I've been eyeing the Steam Extender, where they have the you can play your Steam games on from your PC on your TV. Have you guys? It's kind of like the Sony TV. I haven't seen anybody review it yet. I don't even know if it's out yet, but there's a lot of great PC games, and I know this talk too is people want to be able to stream their PC games to the Xbox One, so that's another way that we could possibly do that. But yeah, I can't wait to try out Elite Dangerous. Don't know anything about the Long Dock. Your description sounds pretty cool, but still working the two jobs, so I haven't had a lot of chance to look at stuff. I'm just gonna roll on since I got the floor. I'm just gonna roll on to what I played. Played a lot of House of Wolves. I do like it. I think I said in a previous episode that there were only three single player missions. There are actually more, and there seems to be more integrated bounties that you can do too. So I think they did a much better job than the Dock Below. Not that the Dock Below was horrible, but I feel like I got more. My $20 got me a lot more this time than last time. Been playing some Prison of Elders. I think that's just a lot of fun. I don't understand why I have to go get a key first from doing something before I can get the rewards. But I think Prison of Elders is a lot of fun. It does get harder. The first level is pretty easy, and then you get to the last level, it's pretty tough. So then I played some more Rainbow Six 3, which is an original Xbox game on the 360 via backwards compatibility. And when I'm camping and if my wife goes and takes a nap, I fire up the 360 and just trying to work through some of those old Rainbow games I love so much. So That's really, I know I played a couple other things, but they're escaping me right now. So that'll be my list for this week. And let me pitch it over to you, DB. What have you played this week? Anything?
So I've been playing a few things before my voice cracks too much. Before I launch into what I've been playing, I want to go back to House of Wolves, Gray. So I sold Destiny. I had it since day one. Actually, I've sold it multiple times. I sold it. I still have
Whoa.
my account, obviously, right? This is big. So this is why I'm asking. So here's the question. I sold it. I got $20 for it, which means that in another 2 months, I could pick up the Taken King expansion, which is going to have the Taken King, the original Destiny, and all two expansions from this past year for $60, or for $20 less now, because I got $20 back. So I could buy the physical disc for $40 and wait 2 months. Or I can use that $20 that I just traded in my game for and buy the digital edition for $80, which allows me to play the vanilla version of Destiny and the two expansions, and then Taken King unlocks along with all the other goodies with the VIP edition and the digital deluxe edition. So I feel okay the fact that I'm kind of a junkie though, right? Because now I want it back now that I got rid of it. But for $20, and now I can buy the digital deluxe edition for $60 for the price of a regular game and keep playing. My question, I guess, is if I do that, then in a year from now, when year three of Destiny comes out, I have a digital edition that's not worth any money, where buying the physical disc still will give me some type of value. So have you guys been following kind of the price discussions, and not even getting into the Luke Smith controversy over the exclusive emotes and all the other pieces, but have thoughts on the price point? Or should I jump back in? Should I wait?
I think the $60 to get everything is just a phenomenal deal for September 15th. To buy the disc, $60, you get all three. You get the two expansions, you get the big expansion, the two DLCs, and the original game. That is phenomenal. I expect that to sell extremely well, and I bet you that disc is going to hold its value for quite a long time. So if you just traded in your original disc, which you probably paid 64, got 20 for it, and then buy another $60 game with then $20 off, it's 40. I think you're getting an exceptional value. I really do. I do want to say this: for somebody who bought the game for $60 and then bought the expansions, the two pack expansions for 35, I'm not sure that the Taken King has more, enough to justify a $40 price. I think it's probably worth $30. I don't know how they're justifying $40 for the Taken King. If that is going to be the price, I will probably just skip it and go. There's so many games coming out this fall. I mean, Forza 6, I haven't been, I want to get back to racing and playing, and Forza 6 is coming around the same time, so I may skip the Taken King, having played Destiny now for, 42 weeks straight. I may skip it and start mixing in some of the newer games that are coming out. But that's my thought. Prime, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, I've played Destiny, but I haven't like gone into it as far as much as you two have. Obviously, Gray, you know that because I was last time we played, I was still just still going through the single player missions, so I was like not even halfway through that. So I don't know. I guess it kind of depends too on how what your stance is on the whole digital versus physical thing, or if that even really matters, or if it's more just about the price. If it's just about price, then yeah, definitely I would go with the $60 physical media and all the DLC and the Taken King and all that. So, but like I said, that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Okay, well, thanks, Scott. I mean, I think it's probably a topic that we'll come back to because it's certainly been in the news this past week in terms of that price point, and now just today, Bungie announced that they're going to be selling the collector's edition package for $20 that for people that already have all the other stuff and just want to buy the Taken King, that they're going to sell you a couple shaders and some emotes and class exotic items for $20, which I don't know if that to me even seems like less of a good deal. Granted, I also just got super excited. I think that's it's certainly a way around it, but that's also kind of fleecing your hardcore to say, here's a couple shaders and some more goofy dance moves for $20. But
can't go wrong with dance moves.
No, that is true. There's nothing wrong like a good tower dance party, right? You know, that said, I don't want to hate on Destiny because I was super excited today because in the mail came my Destiny Nepal relief t-shirt. So Bungie was doing that for $30 or $29-something that you would get a Nepal Destiny-themed t-shirt and a shader and an emblem, and all 100% of the proceeds would go to Nepal. And for the earthquake relief, they raised over, last I saw it was over like $1.3 million. So even though I've you know, cut the habit, sold the game, I know that I'm going to get back into it. I'm excited to wear my Destiny t-shirt. But I do think, you know, trying to figure out how that price point works when it's not quite a traditional multiplayer game, but not quite a full-on massive multiplayer game, an MMO, it will be an interesting line that they have to continue to try to walk. So, speaking of massive multiplayer games, I did pick up Elder Scrolls Online, and I was able to create a character and get in on the second day, even though they've had lots of server problems. I haven't been able to consistently get back in since then, and today they just came out with a big 15-gig patch to provide some more stability, so I'm interested in going back in there. I'll probably talk more about it later when I have a little bit more impressions than just like the first hour or so of gameplay. But otherwise, at home here, I've been playing some Splatoon with my son. Really enjoying Splatoon on the Wii U. It's fun. We end up kind of double-teaming it, where if he's playing, I'm calling out where I see enemies. You know, as he's trying to shoot, and I let him know there's somebody around the corner or off to his left or right. And I've got online and played a couple matches as well. We haven't really touched the single player yet, but it's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. The motion controls are fun. They work pretty well. Watching my son try to figure out the motion controls on an online shooter and, you know, encouraging him that you're going to die a lot, and that's okay, but you keep going and you level up. The one thing I do wish it had is, you know, Nintendo's been so great for couch co-op, thinking about all the multiplayer Mario games and Wii Sports and all the other couch co-op games, Mario Kart, that the co-op mode is only two players in, like, a death battle with only the two of them. It would be wonderful to have either, like, a four-player and go back to harken back to those days of GoldenEye, where you're all against each other, or even better would be some type of two-player online, where one person's on, you know, if they can't do a split screen, do one person on the tablet, on the gamepad, and one person on the screen. Because there's not voice chat, which I think is okay. It actually works out fine because you kind of know what you're doing. But it would be really neat, as my son and I are kind of calling out things back and forth to each other, it would be super fun to be able to team up and say, okay, let's go this way, we're going to team up, you know, and you go to the left of this, and I'll go to the right, you know, and we'll corner this guy. It'd be really fun to have some co-op aspects there. So we've just been renting it. I haven't purchased it yet, but I feel like it's definitely down the road, and probably, you know, when the matchmaking comes in August, it certainly will help balance it out, because we're playing against, you know, we're low level and we're playing against super high level people. So Nintendo's definitely got some kinks there to work out. As my son said, you know, I've played it less than 24 hours, Dad, and it's kicked me off the server 3 times. So they're still trying to work out that multiplayer game piece. But one of the other fun things I did, speaking of Nintendo and multiplayer games, is this last weekend I went to Best Buy, along with my sons, for their E3 kind of preview event, where they had both Mario Maker and they had the new Zelda Triforce, I think, something like that, right? It's the three-player kind of co-op dungeon crawler where you're working on puzzles together. So I played a number of levels on the three-player co-op, and they had, you know, three 3DSs, there we go, or three new 3DSs, all kind of tethered together, and it was fun. It was good to be right next to each other to kind of talk about where we were going and how to work together. I think that the 3D looked good, the gameplay was good. You all share a health bar, so you can't really kind of grief somebody and throw them off the edge all the time because you end up killing yourself. So it was fun. I don't know that I'm super excited to play a whole lot more. I feel like, I could see where it'd be fun if three people in the room had it, but playing online with people, it would be hard to kind of figure out those puzzles, or it could at least be frustrating as you're waiting for somebody who's just kind of randomly running around. The game that was a huge draw and was really fun to not only watch but play was Mario Maker. You know, I guess the thing I can say about it is if you've ever enjoyed a 2D Mario, this game is a blast. You know, I've had the most fun with it as a 2D Mario since New Super Mario Brothers on the DS back almost a decade now. You know, it's not the kind of chaotic four-player Mario that, you know, everybody's bouncing off and end up killing each other in some fashion. It can be super hard, it can be fun. It was a blast watching how people made levels and trying to beat them. The fact that you're running through all the different art styles from Mario 1, 3, Super Mario World, and the New Super Mario Brothers, it was way more fun than I thought it was going to be. I came away feeling really, really energetic, excited about it, where before I thought, yeah, it's going to be Mario. But now I feel like this is the kind of world-building, stage-building, level-building type of thing that I always wished Little Big Planet games would be. And so now I'm really excited to play more of it. So that's what I've been playing. You know, that has both a little taste of E3 and a little taste of what I've been playing. Gray, Prime, I know you weren't here last week, so do you have any thoughts on those Nintendo games? I know you've been a Nintendo fan as well.
Yeah, the one Zelda game is Zelda Triforce Heroes. There was another Zelda game, I think it was actually came out, I think it was free at one point, and I actually downloaded it on my 3DS, kind of in the same vein. I think it's called Spirit Tracks, maybe, or something like that, where it's like,
it was called,
you know, three or four.
Four Swords? It was called Four
Swords.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, I'm sorry, Four Swords. Yeah, so I played a little bit of that one. That was pretty fun, and I think it's kind of in the same vein, if I understand correctly, and what I've seen of it. And I don't know, it was fun, you know. I think it's more of kind of just playing for a few minutes, at least for me, and, you know, doing a few puzzles and then, you know, go on to something else. But, it looks interesting. We'll see, you know, how it pans out. And then Mario Maker, yeah, it's, I don't know about actually making the levels, but definitely, you know, downloading different people's different levels, I think it'll be really interesting when that, you know, finally comes out and people have, you know, 2, 3, 4 months, you know, to really buckle down and just make some interesting levels in that game. It should be a pretty cool experience. But yeah, I can't wait for that one to come out. I think that's, what, September, I believe, Mario Maker? Sometime this fall.
Yep, Mario Maker is coming out like mid-September, so actually pretty early. So that's a good segue into talking about some of the fall games. Great. We've got some more E3 stuff to talk about, don't we?
Yes, we do. And, you know, last week we only had time really to talk about the big three, right? The Microsoft, the Sony, the Nintendo. And there were a lot of other conferences as well. So let's just start diving in there. I'm going to go ahead and get started here. And I want to talk about the Oculus Rift conference pre-E3. You know, I think everybody's been kind of keeping tabs on Oculus Rift. I know I have. But, you know, they actually showed the production model, the consumer model. It looks pretty cool. It looked like it was comfortable. It looked like they were cutting corners a little bit to get the price down, which made me happy. Don't want to spend, $600-$700 on a headset, right? But what really got me at about the Oculus Rift conference was how awesome it would be to play as a starfighter in Eve Valkyrie, and be able to look around and see if there's ships around you, or look down and see your cockpit. You've been able to do that in many games already, but you have to press buttons to look around, And so just to be able to turn your head and look back and, almost like Top Gun, looking around for the bad guy who's on your rear, I think that would be a lot of fun. And that, and I think it was a Drift that I thought would be just totally awesome to play with VR. Just feel like you're floating through the space station on, like Sandra Bullock, in the movie, And I just thought that was awesome. Did either of you guys see the Oculus conference or any of the news out of it? Either of you guys interested in that?
So I didn't see the conference, but I read a lot of the news articles coming out of it and listened to a good number of podcasts as they were talking about their private Oculus demos. And on the Giant Bombcast, or actually on one of their sister casts, the Giant Beastcast, they were talking about how one of the journalists put on the Oculus Rift in kind of this padded room, and one of the Oculus developers was in another room with it on, and they started interacting together in this virtual world. And so, the idea of touch, or the idea of throwing a ball back and forth, or manipulating objects together, really was interesting. I think not only in like a gameplay fashion, because that could be really neat, but also if you think about like in medical fields or in architecture or engineering, or I could see it used for businesses a lot as well. So I think that could be really cool. The one thing that got me super excited and then really disappointed with the Oculus Rift is when they started talking about playing it on Xbox One, but really you're just streaming it from your computer to Xbox One, which already is playing Oculus Rift. And so, At first thought, I thought, oh, you can play Oculus on Xbox One. This is great. And maybe they'll figure out a way to do that, or that will be, Microsoft's answer to Project Morpheus. But one of the things that it did make me, I'm very much a believer in VR. I'm excited about it. I am ready to plop the money down to get a PS4 to be prepared for Morpheus when it comes out. I can remember having a Windows magazine from what it has to be like the mid-90s, because it had the little Bob smiley face on it, but it was all about VR. And so ever since then, it's been kind of that holy grail of what it could be, and it sounds like we're getting really close to that. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I think, like you said, Gray, the fact that they're trimming some corners, trying to make it cost effective for people. Or the other reality is that Oculus Rift, with Facebook's funding behind it, even if they, and maybe they will, maybe if they sell their units at a loss in order to get it into more homes, and then know that that's going to, generate other products after that. I wonder what that business plan looks like. So how about you, Prime? Did you look at any of the news coming out on Oculus?
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about it when it first came out, when it first hit on that conference. And a couple of things that were kind of interesting and they kind of revealed at that point was that they have there's two controllers, I guess, that basically kind of come with it. One is it's going to be packaged with the Xbox One controller, which I thought was kind of interesting. But then there's another controller called the Oculus Touch, which is actually two separate controllers, I guess, that you hold in your hand. It has like a stick and a couple buttons, and then like a trigger button or like shoulder and trigger buttons on it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. That I don't think anything has ever like come out before, or leaked or anything, that they're that they were making their own controllers and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool that they showed that off. And unfortunately, I don't know if they actually did show anything of it, but I didn't get to see like how, I guess it's kind of hard to show that when you're wearing the VR mask like that, and then using the controllers. But I just thought it was kind of cool. And then I believe there's some kind of like a, I don't know if it's a camera, a sensor that kind of sits in front of you that I guess kind of tracks you also. So I guess that helps, with the whole experience when you're in, in the VR world. So I thought that was pretty interesting, the two things that kind of came out of it for me. And then the whole Xbox thing too. I was kind of excited for that, kind of the same way you heard DB. And then it was just kind of basically have a TV strapped to your face. At that point, it's not really, you're in a virtual world at that point. But hopefully, they can work something out where they can get it to actually use, VR games for, through the Xbox somehow. So it'd be a nice complement, with Oculus and HoloLens if they can, get both of those working on the system.
Yeah, I think for me it's all about a killer app. It needs to be something that just makes a game just so much better. Like maybe it's dogfighting in space or No Man's Sky. Imagine being able to, get out of your ship and feel like you're first person walking on the planet, with nothing else in your peripheral. I think those type of games are going to be really cool for VR. But yeah, we'll have to see. I guess jumping off of Oculus, another pre-E3 show was the Bethesda. These guys had, across all the Fallout 4 news, I think a lot of it had leaked. I'm not a Fallout 4 guy. I'll let you guys talk about, that part of it if you want to. The one thing I thought was cool, and I didn't even watch any of the videos because they said they were real gory, but that Doom was going to support mods on all platforms. So it almost sounded like a Halo Forge type of built-in ability to mod Doom on consoles and on PC, and I just thought that was wicked cool. Did you guys have any takeaways from that conference, Fallout 4 or any of the other titles they talked about? Let's start with you, DB.
I'll voice my utter lack of disinterest in Doom, and partly because it just looked like a super pretty Doom and violence for the sake of violence, which I guess is what Doom has always been about, whether it's pixelated blood or super ultra realistic. So yeah, I kind of tuned out in the beginning of that, but I was totally there for the Fallout 4 stuff. It looks interesting. It looks like Fallout, which is great. I really enjoy Fallout, loved it a lot. It looks pretty. The fact that the world's going to be huge is going to be exciting. It's definitely going to be one of those games where you can get lost in. The follow-up news at the Microsoft conference with Fallout 4 being able to, on the Xbox One, being able to use PC mods is that's exciting for me. Yeah, I am looking forward to Fallout 4. At the same time, it also seems like oftentimes Bethesda games are a little buggy when they first ship, and so maybe for me this isn't a fall game, but this is a early January game and in the middle of winter and kind of sinking my teeth into something huge and being able to huddle up with it for the long months during the winter. How about you, Prime? Were you looking forward to Fallout, Doom, anything else out of that conference that kind of looked interesting?
I didn't get to see too, or I shouldn't say too much, but I didn't get to see anything actually at all of Doom. I guess they released like a really short, like 15, 20-second teaser, like the day or two before the conference, which was just like one of the enemies kind of running and like shooting its weapon that had strapped to its back or shoulder or something. But other than that, I really didn't see too much else on Doom. I never, I mean, I played the original, obviously. I think pretty much everybody did back on the PC. I never played 2 or 3, so, and I know, I guess 3 was kind of a more, I don't know if they were trying to go for a more, like, kind of, like, scary, kind of jump out and, scare you kind of a thing more than, kind of just going around shooting things. But what I did see, kind of like you, was Fallout. And I think I've voiced this in the past, like Fallout 3, I just couldn't get into it. It didn't grab me like I thought it was going to be, like Elder Scrolls does, and their other games in the Elder Scrolls series, Skyrim and Oblivion. But this one actually, it actually looked pretty interesting, one of the reasons on Fallout that I just couldn't, or Fallout 3, that I couldn't just get into it, was just kind of the drab, dreary atmosphere and colors and, everything run down, which is obviously, it's set in the future and, after a war or whatever, but it just kind of just killed the mood for me, basically, I guess. But this one looks like there's like more varied environments, so it might, kind of keep my interest a little bit more. And obviously the mod support's kind of a, I shouldn't say kind of, but it's a pretty big deal that you'd be able to, create a mod on the PC and bring it over to the Xbox One. So it should be interesting. I don't know, the gameplay too in Fallout 3 was, I didn't say, I wouldn't say I didn't like it. It was just kind of weird, I guess. And maybe I was just thinking it was going to be kind of like a regular shooter, which it pretty much wasn't. And I think that just kind of threw me off too. But this one looks like it might be a little bit more forgiving, maybe, I guess you could say. And I think they still have the VAT system where you can kind of like slow down time and, kind of choose where you want to shoot one of the enemies, like in the head or the arm or the chest or whatever. So that should be cool. And then I think another thing that they had announced during that conference was an Elder Scrolls, I think it's called Elder Scrolls Legend, which is like a card game that they're going to be bringing out. I don't remember for what systems. I don't know if it was just for like mobile, maybe, since it's just a card game. But so that was their Elder Scrolls announcement, which I was kind of sad about because I wanted a new single player game. But just kind of seeing what UDB and some of the other guys on the site have been talking about Elder Scrolls Online, I might maybe pick that up in, a few weeks to a month or so. So maybe that will kind of get my Elder Scrolls itch, scratch there at least. But yeah, other than that, I don't know if there was much else announced during that Bethesda conference. I know they had, most, I think the majority of it was probably Fallout and Doom. So I know they had the big special edition that they announced on Fallout, where it actually comes with a Pip-Boy of sorts. So it's the actual like device, but you have to actually put your smartphone in there to kind of operate it like a real Pip-Boy that's, in the game. So, and I would definitely wouldn't get that. I'm sure that's probably gonna cost a pretty penny. So, but other than that, yeah, it was interesting. Like I said, I wish there was a regular single player Elder Scrolls game that they announced, but hopefully in the future, next year or two, that they'll announce that one.
Well, those are some great thoughts about that conference. I know they had some other smaller stuff too there. I think I even read today that they don't think they're going to repeat it next year. It was kind of like just the, everything aligned this year to have a conference. I thought they did a great job and a lot of excited people about some of their games coming out. So I want to move on now to EA, and I had a hard time watching that conference. There were games I was excited about seeing, like Battlefront, right? But there was this long interview with Pele. There was a lot of focus put on NHL, which, no offense, but I'm just not an NHL player, and some other games that just I couldn't didn't keep my attention. And as I look back at everything they talked about, they definitely have some great games coming, definitely. But I just had a hard time with the whole conference and trying to pay attention to it. Did either of you guys watch the EA conference or read any of the follow-up commentary, DB?
So I watched up until the Pele part, and then then I had to go because it happened during work. So, but I think I was excited about it. I have been really eager to see what EA was going to announce this year at E3 because, in part, I really want to jump on the EA Access bandwagon. I think if you don't own those games, it is a huge value. For $30 a year, you get a Madden game, you get last year's Madden, you get last year's FIFA, which are two really solid sports games. You get a totally broken NBA game, so that's not really worth anything. You get Need for Speed, which is fine. You get Peggle, you get Battlefield 4, you get Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, all great games. And now they just added Titanfall to it, which should really rejuvenate some of that player base. I still love jumping into Titanfall, And this fall, they're going to add Dragon Age Inquisitions, and so that's a great a single-player game, but actually, truthfully, I've spent more time in the multiplayer on Dragon Age, kind of a four-player dungeon crawler, than I have on the single-player so far. So, you know, I was really interested to see what they were going to do, how they were going to follow that up, and the game that really was most interesting to me was the little Yarny game, the Unravel. You know, the fact that they spent a lot of time on that guy, you know, but I think it's pretty creative, it's pretty unique, it's something different, it doesn't feel in that big kind of over-the-top action-y EA mold, as most of their games have. They spent way too much time on Plants vs. Zombies 2, which just looks like Plants vs. Zombies 1, Garden Warfare. Again, fun, but not necessarily it's going to generate a whole lot of excitement out of an E3 audience. The Mass Effect teaser is awesome. You know, I've spent 180 hours in the Mass Effect universe. I'm ready for more. But so yeah, there's lots of bits and pieces there. I think the fact that they had to keep reminding people about Battlefront and when it was coming is a sign that maybe they weren't so sure about all their other games if they have to keep telling you stick around because Battlefront's going to be here. So great. I threw a lot of games in there. Do you have other thoughts on those?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you bring up some good points, like the whole Plants vs. Zombie 2 thing. I was like, how long is this commercial with Danger Zone, Highway into the Danger Zone? I mean, it was just, I don't know. I mean, this is mostly going to be your hardcore gamers. That wasn't gameplay. That was a video. I don't know that it was a wise choice. And then Mass Effect. Man, if they would have had some really good content, but it was more of a super duper teaser with no real content at all. I mean, it was some guy flipping through a book of possible planets, but there was nothing of substance. So, I mean, that's kind of like the whole E3, the whole EA thing was kind of like that for me. It was kind of like, you know, we want meat and potatoes, and then we did get it with Battlefront. Battlefront was, the Battlefront videos were, in my opinion, were really, really good. But there was just so much else in the EA that wasn't that. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, there really wasn't a lot of substance. It was a lot of flash. It was a lot of pre-rendered stuff. You know, even their obligatory Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was all just beautiful CGI stuff. You know, there's a lot of potential, but not a lot shown. And really, the only thing that they seemed to show in any detail was Battlefront. And that's too bad. I think EA has the potential for a lot out there. But, yeah. Prime, did you get a chance? I know you're on vacation. Did you catch any highlights or lowlights as Gray and I are talking about it?
I actually didn't get to, unfortunately, I guess, watch that EA conference. I actually did watch the big three, and then EA, and a little bit of the Ubisoft one, but yeah, I mean, they definitely got to work on their pacing on their conferences, and I think it's been like that for at least a couple years now that I've seen when I've been able to watch their conferences. And the weird thing is that too is the people they have on stage. You know, they seem excited, they seem, you know, energetic, and you know excited to be there, but it's just like the material they're working with, it just kind of seems boring, which is kind of weird, you know, how they're trying to present everything. Like you said, Unravel was cool because, you know, it's a new IP, and you know, it looks pretty for one thing, and it's, you know, it looks interesting, you know, it's platformer, but it's kind of 3D, you know, background's 3D. Like you said, those sports games, I think that's another area that they kind of have to whittle down. We know that, you know, they do sports games, they do Madden, they do FIFA, they do hockey and, you know, basketball. But they really got to kind of, I think, tone down that area, or maybe, I don't know what they can do with the sports, you know, franchises. Just kind of lump it all into one little thing, kind of just, you know, quick cuts maybe, you know, kind of be done with it and just kind of focus on, you know, the Battlefronts and the Battlefields and Need for Speed, and then another game that they actually did show, which I was very interested in, was the new Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I don't know if
either of you... Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know if either of you had ever played the first one, but that one looks really good. It's supposed to be, I guess, it's supposed to be open world, so that should be interesting since you can just, run and jump and, hang on stuff and, run on ledges and all that kind of thing. So that was really interesting to me too. Obviously, along with Battlefront, just the more I see of that game, the more I want to play it. But have either of you have ever played the original Mirror's Edge?
I did. I kind of got stuck, I think, probably a third or halfway through, and I never finished it. I did love the whole first-person perspective where you're running and jumping and, from here and there, and you see your hands and feet every once in a while. You could pick up guns, but it was better just to run and try to get away or go where you were going. But with those games, if I get stuck and I try something 10 times and I can't get through it, a lot of times they end up on the shelf collecting dust. So I did enjoy it. I love the style, but I ended up getting stuck. How about you, DB? Did you play any Mirror Edge at all?
I played a little bit, not too far. I like the universe. I like the art style. I'm really excited in the new one now for the fact that there's not going to be any guns at all, that it's really going to be about that kind of that parkour gameplay, which should be really interesting. Let me go back. One of the things I was thinking of as you're listing out all those games, Prime, is one of the things they didn't show, which we know is coming, is Titanfall 2. So Battlefield comes out, Battlefront comes out this year. Battlefield Hardlines was supposed to come out last year. It got pushed back into the spring. They're still generating content for Battlefield 4. Do you think EA tries to position Titanfall as not as a spring game like the first one, but move it into a fall release, and it becomes one of their fall rotation of first-person shooters? So you've got Battlefield and Battlefront and Titanfall, or do you think they still think it doesn't quite hold that same weight?
I think. Well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. The way they think, I would think they would try to maybe kind of shoehorn it into the holiday to, trying to be that third pillar, of a AAA game. I'm actually thinking they might actually kind of leave it to spring, like it was, or late winter, when the first one came out. Just to see, 'cause now it's obviously going to be multi-platform, and I think it did pretty well on just the Xbox One. But I think they might want to see if it'll, if it'll really take off now that it's going to be multi-platform, PS4 and Xbox One. And did it come out for the PC? I don't remember. I don't think so. Did it?
Yes. I picked it up real inexpensive on the PC. Let me ask you guys this. Titanfall 2, 2016 or 2017?
So I'm gonna say 17 because I think if it's
Yeah,
16, I
me
agree
too.
with you. I think I agree with you, Prime, that it makes sense to put it in kind of that March window. I think Hardlines didn't sell super well, but it was also kind of hanging out by itself, and so it has a little bit of room to breathe. Where I think if they push Titanfall into the fall of 16, it's such a tight window before you get bunched up with Call of Duty and who knows what else, And so I think giving it some space to really let it become a franchise is probably going to be better for the bottom line.
Do you guys see that most of these development houses are going to the 3-year cycle? It just seems like the more we talk about this, the more I think about it, everybody's going to a 3-year cycle. Are you guys seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I've noticed that lately, and especially I think kind of the main standout was the Call of Duty series, how they've kind of started doing that 3-year cycle with the three different studios doing each series, Treyarch, Infinity Ward, and Sledgehammer now, the newest one. But yeah, I've kind of noticed on all these other games too, that they're starting to do that. And I'm wondering if it's just because of the hardware is just, I don't know if it's more complicated or they're just, so much more that they can do, excuse me. So they want to give it that extra year to try to get as much out of these games as they can. So, because I think even with Need for Speed, they took a year off last year, right? So, and I know they're coming out this fall with another one. So, we'll see.
Yeah, Need for Speed tried to have two different studios going and to rotate out. You know, they had who did they have? They had the Burnout Paradise, the Burnout developers, and then the original Need for Speed guys, and they were rotating off. But I think the Burnout studio, or most of those guys, left or it closed, and they reduced it back. So I think that was part of why they ended up taking a year off last year. But yeah, I think they're at least on a two-year cycle. You know, even something like Skylanders has two different teams working on it. So I guess I'd rather see them take their time and put out a game that works, rather than go the Ubisoft route and throw, you know, 6 to 8 different studio groups at it so they can keep churning out a game. I'd rather have it have its own feel and not kind of just this mishmash of stuff that unfortunately the Assassin's Creed games have kind of devolved into.
Yeah, and I think if we look at Battlefield 4 and everything that went wrong with that, you know, guys, take 3 years before you do Battlefield 5, please, and do it right, because it's such a great series that so many of us love. You know, we don't want it broken, even today with all the patches, the single player still has all these glitches in it. You know, I'd rather just have my Battlefield come out once every 3 years and be great. And if they're going to do a hard line or do some, you know, on the off year, do something and then maybe throw a Star Wars one in there, I'm great with that. That's awesome. But I would hate for them to rush it out. Now, I think the only exception to this will probably be Destiny 2. Now, Destiny launched, I mean, this thing was in development for a long time. But it launched pretty bug-free. There was no server issues. I played from day one. No server issues, no connection issues. They had an extensive beta, of course, beforehand. But I think Destiny 2 will be out at the two-year mark. But besides that, I think everybody else is going to 3 years, and that's probably better, just so we get higher quality games, and it's okay if we play them longer in between purchases, at least in my opinion. You know, with that thought, I'm going to move into Ubisoft, kind of our final discussion point here as far as E3 and conferences, and a couple of things I was really excited about, the Ubisoft presentation. The main thing was Terrorist Hunt. I was really down, and said this on the previous podcast, that Siege was just going to be 5v5. And they even had somebody get out there and say, you know, we've been getting a lot of questions. Hey, is this going to be just a 5v5 multiplayer game? You know, what about SP? What about Terra Hunt? And so they announced Terra Hunt. And it looked awesome. 5 players against some smart AIs. That looked great. That's almost enough to make me buy it. I also kind of get the feeling that maybe at Gamescom they'll announce, or maybe before Gamescom they'll announce single player. Because then that would be the whole package, especially if they supported 4-player co-op like they did in Vegas 1. That would be pretty awesome. I was kind of bummed out there was no kind of Rainbow Six Collection announced. But, you know, the new Ghost Recon, very gritty. You know, I don't think anybody was expecting that. Very gritty. It's the third-person view, which I'm not a big fan of. So, you know, I probably won't get that game. The Division looked really good. Again, depending on when it releases, will depend whether or not I get it. But what did you guys think about the Ubisoft Prime? Did you see anything in that Ubisoft conference or hear anything about it that that you're excited about or were disappointed about?
Yeah, like I said, I only saw I saw a little bit of that one. That was only like the one conference I think besides Square Enix that I only saw a little bit of, but I was kind of following on, I think it was on one of the Facebook groups that I was that I'm on, and they're kind of, you know, commenting as the conference is going on, because I couldn't actually watch it at that point, but I was kind of looking at that, and it was kind of funny when Ghost Recon, they were showing Ghost Recon, and before you actually knew what it was, a lot of people thought it was like a Call of Juarez game, because I guess, you know, it's kind of not out in the west, but kind of, you know, out in the desert, you know, kind of setting, and it was just kind of interesting to see that. I was like, oh, cool, Call of Juarez. I've kind of played a couple of those games before, and I thought they were good. But then, like, later on, I eventually found out it was Ghost Recon. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I believe it's an open-world game, too, which seems to be the theme nowadays. Is everything is going open-world, which, you know, can be good, I guess, but, you know, kind of daunting at times, you know, that there's so much you can do in an open-world game, and you can spend so many hours on, you know, that kind of game, But I was kind of excited. I was pretty excited for that. I watched some of the videos later on, but I got to go back and kind of watch everything. Like I said, I was on vacation and just coming back this week. I was trying to catch up on things and work and everything. So I haven't. I got to go back and start watching, you know, a lot of these videos again. And then along with Siege, you were mentioning about Rainbow Six, the Vegas series that it's actually going to come with the first and second game, Vegas 1 and 2, when that comes out. It's going to come with Siege, so not exactly a remaster, you know, or a reboot, but, you know, at least it's, I think they're just going to be, like, just a straight-up port of it. So, I mean, that should be cool. Or, I don't know, maybe it's going to be, like the backwards compatibility thing, maybe, with, you know, how that's working now with the Xbox One, or, you know, how they're going to do that, but, you know, that should be pretty cool. And I thought of you, Greg, when they announced that.
Thanks, yeah. They kind of confirmed that at the Microsoft conference after Microsoft talked about PC. That's kind of when Ubisoft talked about that. And, you know, it'll be great because it'll be a digital license, so you don't have to put your disc in the machine. But I still have multiple copies of Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2, so to me it wouldn't make me buy it if that's all you got with it. So kind of interesting. I know, interesting of why they did that, but that's cool. I mean, I almost thought they were going to do that so they didn't have to do any co-op or terrorist hunt. DB, anything Ubisoft that caught your eye?
It wasn't quite as painful as it has been in the past to watch their MCs. But no, I think, you know, I think Ghost Recon looks pretty cool. I like the idea of the co-op open world stuff. The idea, you know, it almost looks kind of like with the open world that it could be like a co-op Far Cry type of game, which could be pretty cool to see what type of things emerge and being able to team up in squads and move through that. Again, you know, whether it's drop in or drop out, or if you have to join in, or if it ends up being kind of like a Destiny or a Division where you're kind of walking through and meeting up with people. The Division looks to have so much promise. I'm really glad that they're not trying to push it out now. The one thing for the Division for me is that it's going to take a lot of betas to make sure all those servers are working the way they should to get that good experience. The other games that I thought were pretty cool coming out of Ubisoft, as much as I just kind of ragged on Assassin's Creed, I think the fact that there's a male and a female protagonist is pretty cool. You know, it'll be a game that I'll probably pick up in 2016 when it's on sale for $14, $10, something like that. The fact that Trey Parker and Matt Stone are coming back to make another South Park game is pretty fun. You know, I have the first one on PS3, and it's funny as South Park goes. So the fact that they're coming back to do it again, it is a nice kind of diversity piece in the Ubisoft gaming platform. You know, that there's, it's not just kind of gritty action games, so that's kind of fun. Other than that, not a whole lot that really jumped out at me in terms of things that I'm really excited about.
Actually, there was one more game I just thought about. It was called For Honor. Excuse me, For Honor. And they actually kind of just jumped into gameplay when they showed that, and it was, I'm not even sure what all the game is about, but what they showed was kind of like Vikings and knights and kind of samurais and kind of different eras of, you know, just people fighting. So I think there was either 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, maybe. I don't remember exactly, but basically you kind of, you know, you have four or five guys with you, and then you have all your other soldiers, which I'm assuming are just probably AI controlled, kind of just battling each other. And most of the time, when like the two, you know, when it was just P versus P, you know, player versus player, it was like pretty much, you know, one or two strikes, and you know, you were down. So it was kind of like that old, what is it called, Bushido Blade kind of type of gameplay, where, you know, you gotta definitely, you know, be strategic about how, you know, how you're playing. So that looked kind of cool. It'd be interesting, you know, to find out more of that, if that's all it is, you know, player versus player, if there's, you know, kind of other things going on too, if there's a single player element or not. I don't know if you, what you guys thought of that game, or if you saw it or not, Gray.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of games like that where I saw it looked cool, but it didn't make my list of, you know, I'm going to buy it or I'm really going to follow it. I heard a lot of people talk about it, and said, "Hey, really great concept, sword fighting, you know." But yeah, not something I want to run out. It's like there was the Horizon game, there was some other games, and it's just, you know, they all look cool, but how many games can one person play, you know? So, but it was good. It was good to see that each of these conferences had so many games targeting so many different people. Prime, you had I'm looking at the time. We're running out of time for this week's show, but you had one other news announcement that you wanted to really touch on today. Let me just pitch it back to you.
Yeah, just real quick, I wanted to, they announced the Games with Gold for Xbox One and for Xbox 360 for July, and some pretty decent games actually. So for the 360, from July 1st to the 15th, it's going to be the original Plants vs. Zombies, which I actually, surprisingly, I've never played.
Great
it's I
game.
think it's on so many it's on so many systems, mobile consoles, pretty much everything, but I never got a chance to play it. So and then from the 16th to the end of the month, it's going to be Gears of War 3. So played the first one, beat the first one. I never got the other two, so it'll be interesting to pick that up. Maybe eventually I'll get Gears 2 also to kind of finish off that trilogy. So then on the Xbox One side, what they've actually just announced recently is they're going to have two new games, I guess starting every month now. Before they were just doing, they had two games, but the one was like held over from the previous month, so there was really only one new game that you would get each month. So for this month, July, you're going to get Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag for, it looks like for the whole month. But then starting July 16th until the end of the month, you'll get a game called So Many Me, which I was looking, I'd never heard of that before, but it looks like just like an indie title. So it's just kind of a 2D platformer where there's multiple versions of the character you're playing. So like in the video I was watching, you're jumping around, and at one point, there's a cliff that you can't quite reach as you jump, but another version of you underneath kind of turns into a block, so you can jump on him and then jump onto the ledge. And there's just other kind of powers, I guess, that you can get. So that I just kind of thought that was interesting that they're kind of, I think, kind of beefing up the Games with Gold now. And I know a lot of people kind of rag on it lately, especially the last like 2 or 3 months since you had Pool Nation, they're kind of just sitting there for the last 2 or 3 months. So, either of you, DB, are you interested in any of those games? Have you played those?
I think the thing that is I'm excited for, and also I'm kind of kicking myself, is this is here's a public service announcement to everyone else listening, is that if you have Xbox Live Gold or PlayStation Plus, even if you don't own the system, get that game attached to your account, right? Because now with Xbox Live backwards compatibility, if I had been adding up all those games along the way, I could play them. I'm definitely gonna. I had never played the Gears series. I'm excited for the remake. I'm gonna pick up 3 and put it on my account so that when it becomes backwards compatible, I'll be able to play it on my Xbox One. Over the last year or so, I know that eventually I'll probably pick up a PS4, but I have a Vita, and so I still have PlayStation Plus, but I keep adding PlayStation 4 games on my account so that whenever I eventually add it, I've got a nice, and right now I've got a nice library of PS4 games. So, regardless of if you have the system, even if you don't, if you have either one of those two paid services, attach those games to your account because they're going to stick with it, and eventually you're probably going to have the opportunity to play it.
I'd love to know how to do that without actually firing up my 360, because I've tried to do it online, and every time I go to do it, I'm logged in, I'm gold, Xbox Gold, and I go to get the free game for the 360, and it's like the price tag's there. And so if you, DB, if you figure out how to do that online or from the one for the 360 games, please share it with me, because the last thing I want to do is fire up my 360 and go and, I'd just like to add it to my account without actually having to download it. You know what I'm saying? So please keep me in the loop as you go about doing that.
Yeah, it's really weird because you should, as long as you're logged in, you should be able to do it on Xbox.com. I know a lot of times when I go on there, sometimes the Games with Gold section is not up to date, so I'll just do a search on the game, and usually do it through that and do it that way. So maybe you can try that. I don't know if, I don't know why that would make a difference, but you could try just to do search on the game individually and see if that takes off the price tag. I don't, it's kind of weird that it would show that if you're logged into your account. So that's
Yeah,
my
it
only trick, I
does.
guess.
Yeah, I'll have to try that. Thank you very much. Hey, guys, anything else before we close it out? We're right up against our time limit. DB, anything else you want to say before we close the show out?
No, it's been great to kind of wrap it up. Nice to have you back, Prime, and hear some of your thoughts. So thanks.
Yeah, Prime, great having you back. Anything else you want to add before we close out the show?
No, that's it. I was kind of bummed that I kind of missed last week's show, that I couldn't, voice my opinions on everything that happened. But I'm sure, we'll hear more on all those games and everything, in the next few months. So until then.
Yes, so next year you got to block out E3. No vacations during E3.
Yeah, no vacation. I want to tell my wife. I'm sure she'll like that.
I got something going on at work, or I got something going on. anyways, well, guys, it's always a pleasure doing the show with you. Thank you both for joining. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Band of Gamers podcast. You can catch all our podcasts that have been published anyways at bandofgamers.net. And they're all up there. You can listen to them. You can comment on them. We even have our very own email address if you want to send us your own comments. It is podcast@bandofgamers.net. So feel free to drop us a note, even just to say you listen to the show. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Greylock3491. On behalf of DBQ Hams and Osiris Prime, I want to thank you all for listening to this week's show. And until next time, peace.